Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Two. How are you getting on, ye dirty, dirty, dandy Warhols of a listener? Wow, what a pleasure to have you here tonight, or tomorrow, or whatever time of the day you're tuning into us, to join us on this snowcast that is a bit of a throwback. We haven't done one of these in quite a while. We put out on social media today, we looked for your questions, your topics, and you answered in abundance on Twitter, Instagram, and nobody answered on Facebook. But sure, look, we haven't been on Facebook in a long time, so that's no surprise. It's just myself, DJ, as always, and Owen, my trusty co-host, as always, this week. And I have to say, right, there was an air of absolute devilment about the two of us today. Owen, I don't know about you, but as soon as quitting time hit and work, I just had that. The ghoulin' jig was going before I even fucking left work, to be quite honest with you.
I was a giddy little boy today, so I was.
A giddy goat growth.
I needed to get out of work. I needed to go. I needed to get some cans. And boy, did we get cans.
Oh my God, like, I'm telling you, as someone who's about to like enact a mortgage, I pretty much got a mortgage worth of cans today. But God, I'm at good value. There's some value out there at the moment for the can.
This day will go down in history, you know? Battle of Hastings, Easter Rising, the 16th of April, 2021.
The boys bought more cans than an off license. We bought so many cans, we had to go to 3 off-licenses. Is off-licenses the plural of off-license? I feel like it should be off-license or something.
Off-licenses. Loft-licenses. Off-licenses.
Offies.
Offies. Offies. Yeah, actually, sorry, that is the plural of off-license. Is offies. Yeah, oh my God, what a great day. Like, so good.
So, out the door of work, right? Everyone knows by now. We work in a hospital in University Hospital Waterford. Out the door of University Hospital Waterford, across the road to the irresistible Ardkeen quality food store craft beer fridge. Boy, oh boy, is this fridge inviting. And today, Owen, it was top notch. It was at peak performance today.
I tell you what, like, so a lot of businesses around have like really upped their game during the pandemic in terms of, like, you know, a lot of them, it was kind of like a bit of a downtime, still a bit of a downtime for a lot of businesses. I'm actually quite excited when things open back up to see if, you know, if there is changes in some businesses. But like, say with Arkeen Stores, like, they upgraded those fridges to have these like fully glass fronted like fridges. Like, there's not even like a bevel on the fridge for like to impede your view of the cans. It is just a wall of cans. It is amazing. And the selection there today was out of this world. It was so good. Today was definitely the biggest like selection of cans I've ever seen in the three offices that we went to. But I was talking to Julie today, right? Inside in Arlene Stores. And she was saying that she was talking to a manager or a coworker of hers, and that they had a certain beer in. I can't remember the name of it, but they had one beer in, and there was a like new edition of like the next of this beer, like kind of coming out, like, you know, like the next batch, or but like it was called maybe, I think it was called maybe the beer was called something like Big Brother, and then the next beer was called Little Brother, right? But the coworker was like, oh, is like Little Worker or Little Brother the same as Big Brother? And she was like, no, like, you know, this is more of a Saison versus blah, 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 you know, like some other kind of differentiation between it. And he was just like, what? But like, why are we getting in this kind of new beer? And she was like, that's what people want. People just want new. They want to taste different. That's what the kind of craft beer scene is about. And I was like, you're so right. Like, that's exactly what I'm kind of doing when I'm going into the fridge. I'm like, oh, what's this now? I haven't seen this before. I'm going to take up one of these guys, you know?
Like, I have to say, like, Julie is playing an absolute fucking blinder in our King Quality Food Store at the moment. Like, she made a great point to us today where, like, obviously we're absolute devils. Like, she puts an incredible, incredible display of beer in the fridges. And we turn around and we ask for two that she doesn't have in stock at the moment. But as she said, like, you know, there's so many quality beers coming out at the moment. How do you keep the fridge stocked?
She was like, they actually only have so much space. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's a testament.
Who do you boot out?
Testament to Irish breweries. And it's great that we have different off licenses we can go and get different beers from. And do you know what though? Like, I have to say, like, what a fantastic job in. But it's not just like, obviously, you know what? There's so many great beers out there. It's not hard to stock great beers. But that fridge is so inviting. The way it's like, you know, not to get into merchandising or any of that, but just the way it like sucks you in.
Yeah.
And the way it, like, your eye is just drawn to every single level of that fridge. Like, Arkeen Stores if you're in Waterford, lads.
And do you know what you were saying as well there? You were saying, oh, there's some value today. And we'll go on about the value, but actually just in general value, right? We've named an episode 5 for 16. There was a lot of sections of that fridge today where it was €3 cans, like 5 for 15. Do you know what I mean?
Here, game, like, honest to God, they've delivered on value. And what I love about, what I really love about Arkeen Quality Food Stores is, like, they do rotate breweries. You get different breweries in and out. But they're very loyal to what I think is probably the best brewery in the country at the moment, Kinnegar. So like, they are very much like Kinnegar are on the ball. They stock Kinnegar heavily, and it's a very popular beer in the southeast.
Yeah,
but you can't get it on tap, you know, which like hopefully will change in the future. But the other thing as well is they're very loyal to local beers. Crafty Hopster, Dungarvan Brewing Company, and Metal Man are always in that beer fridge. And I was greeted today with a Legacy Cider Clint, which was brilliant, because it's it's coming into cider season as well. You know, the sun is out, people are getting a lip for cider as well. So I just thought, like, what a start to our trifecta of offies that we went to today. And actually, not just a trifecta of offies, a very quick shout out to Number 21, an off license we went to last week for the first time ever. I was my first time ever in there anyway, and that had some lovely surprises in there as well.
And again, like, just I think they're so well displayed now, like, just those kind of like big open fridges, just like just completely inviting and lined up quite nicely, like and that contrasts to the off license that we also went to, which was Worldwide Wines, where it is like, it's actually the randomness of that off license just makes it magical. Like,
do you know, like, what? I was thinking about this today. Do you know Jumanji, right? But not like Robin Williams, the original Jumanji. Do you know the Jumanji with the Rock and the newer Jumanjis?
There's yeah, two. With Jack Black, is it?
Yeah. Jack Black, The Rock, Kevin Hart, and I can't think of the actress's name. Apologies to the actress if she's listening. But it's kind of like that, you know. It's like you're just fucked in the jungle, and you're just like made up when you come out with a gem.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what? Because like as we you know what? Arkeen Stores, number 21, Grady's Yard, quality fridges, quality layout, like very easy to navigate. The beauty of Worldwide Wines is it is literally the jungle. You go in and you're met with a barricade of wine, a barricade of whiskey. You have circumnavigated your way around the cocktail glasses section that they have at the front there, and then you come across this wall of independent craft beer before you even come to the plinth.
Yeah.
And behind the plinth then there is this continental wall of mystery.
Yeah, that just kind of seems to constantly change, and then, you know, it has like these bottles there that you'd probably find in kind of like any Belgian bar, but then it also has these like 10 euro barrel aged like beauties as well from like Tull or whoever. Like it's just amazing. But actually, one thing that happened in there that I thought was very funny was that, you know, we were looking along and we saw, oh, look at this. They stock, they've a can here from Western Herd. It's like, oh, God, we haven't seen that at all down here for ages, like, you know. But because of the layout, we were like, oh, look at this one here. Oh, actually, there's another one. And there's another one there on the top shelf as well. And then like it ended up being that they had like six cans from the range, like all in the one, like just all scattered across about six different shelves.
But like the thing is, like for people that don't understand, the plinth is basically this like this long
tip. It's an island. Like
yeah, this long island unit that has loads of beer on top of it. But under the plinth is this open shelving. And all the Western Herd were on different layers of the shelving, but it was all like the one Western Herd range that was scattered amongst the different cans from the different breweries. Like there was like limited edition Lochgills in there, limited edition Yellow Bellies. It was just this big, massive wildfire. It was like this native woodland of independent beer, and we were just trying to find our way through it and mosey our way through it. And like you could genuinely come up with anything out of it.
Yeah, oh, totally, yeah.
But we found plenty of cans to buy, including the beer that we're going to talk about tonight for the Pilsner Prowl. But before that, we went on to the third brewery of the day, or the third offie of the day.
Yeah, we tipped into Grady's Yard, and, oh, God, just every time we step in there, I'm just like, just open the pubs, please. Please open the pubs. So
everyone who listens to this podcast for a long time will know the affinity, the affection we hold for the barmen in the regular bars that we attend in Waterford. Tom Ryan, Phil Grimes, we have so much love for the man. Michal in Grady's Yard, who's been on the podcast briefly on occasion and yeah, may be on it again. Do you know, we talk about these figures on the podcast, or we have done pre-pandemic, say. So we walk in the door, there's no one behind the bar, and Grady's Yard, when you walk in the door, the bar greets you with this wall of taps, but in front of that now, they have the low fridges, and to the right-hand side, there's the high fridges. So we turn immediately right to the high fridges, and we're looking in the fridges, and all we hear is roaring across the bar this beautiful Dundalk accent of me.
Ah, the boys!
Oh, the boys! And like neither of us turned. We just like still looking in the fridge, gave a roll back, like, well, how's me haul? Just this brilliant interaction that, like, you know what, it just made me long for the proper pub back even more. And what a selection. Like beers from the UK, beers from Denmark, beers from Ireland, beers from the US, beers from Canada, beers from Belgium everywhere. Oh, like for a place that's a pub that's got six fridges in, three big, three small, the variety and even the interbrewery variety in the fridges is just astounding.
Yeah, like they definitely have like the best US Canadian select, like the amount of different like breweries from all over the US and stuff that they have is like absolutely amazing. And like maybe it is a little bit to their detriment as well, like the selection that's there, because I suppose they're probably paying a little bit of a premium to get those cans in. And like, you know, it's such you'd want to be so into your craft beer in order to have that kind of discoverability about things, you know, and to go in search of these beers, these American beers as well, because you can get so I suppose it's the marketing appeal of the Irish beers, where there's that familiarity about them, whereby, you know, you'll see your Elevation Pale Ale, you'll see your Pirate's Bay, you know, from Offie to Offie, and like from even from like Lidl and Tesco and all those, you'll see the kind of same ones kind of creep across. But it then, like when you look and you see these American ones that are kind of actually, the artwork is even kind of like totally out there in comparison. Like a lot of time it's kind of like this graffiti or like kind of really weird looking like beer cans and stuff that like I suppose it doesn't even draw you to it, you know, as the Irish ones do, just because I suppose of that kind of like familiarity with them.
But even there, like today, I picked up two cans and I can't think of the name of them now, and I'm not going to drink them tonight, but they're in the fridge. I can't think of them. But I said it to you and Michal inside, we had a good laugh about it. Like I literally was like, I'm only buying these cans because it looked like the kind of thing that Vince Vaughn would drink in the background of a scene.
What's it called?
It's just a classic American pale ale, but I can't think of the brewery now. But do you know what? I'll drink them on a podcast in a couple of weeks' time. But like we had Left Hand Brewing, we bought their Pilsner in there. I bought a Berlin unfiltered lager in there. They have stuff from Founders. They have stuff from Sierra Nevada. They have stuff from loads of American breweries. They have stuff from Tuolla.
It's just loads. Like I wouldn't even know them. There's just such a wide variety like that. They don't, like a lot of them just don't even look or sound familiar at all. Like they're just,
and for a makeshift offie, like they have barrel aged stuff. They have New England pale ales. They have the double dry hop pale ales. They have sours. They have gosses. They have lagers. They have pilsners. They have, like stouts. Everything you can think of.
Yeah. They have a
broad selection. So that was top notch. And we bought all around us today.
And spread the love.
We did. And actually, we bought quite a few Pilsners, Helles beers for this Pilsner Prowl that we're in the middle of.
Yep.
We're well stocked for the next few podcasts. We might actually have to double up next week to get through them. And we actually spoke today as well about adding like a Kolsch in as well. Just different styles of lager and different styles of that type of brewing. Because at the end of the day, as we said, like, you know, this is the Pilsner Prowl. We are trying to replace Puck Pilsner in our lives, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a Pilsner. As we went through when we had the Keller beer last week, but this week on, we've gone for what is a limited edition beer. So if it comes out on top, I think we'll have to like just harass Hope Brewing into brewing it regularly.
100%, yeah.
You know what? I bought three cans of this today, and I had two of them before we started recording, and I've had the third one now since we've been starting. So I actually will let you, because you just had your first one now. So I'll let you introduce it and give your spiel on it before I give my opinion, because we've intentionally not spoken about it to each other yet. And I'm absolutely dying to know what you think about this beer.
So I you probably heard me when I was initially pouring a DJ. I was just like, Jesus, there's some fizz on her. So like
the washing machine went mad there for a minute. Like it was really to the foreground.
Oh, sorry there.
So actually, like before I give my spiel on it, like I'm actually really, really interested on into finding out what you think about this beer.
Yeah. Yeah, as you probably heard earlier on when I was talking to you, like when I poured her out there, like I was like, Jesus, some fizz on this, you know? Like I was like a child with a fucking bottle of Cadet or something, like, Jesus, there's some fizz on this. And there is, though. There's like, it creates some like lovely head and the bubbles will be flowing through it, you know? It's that real kind of like summery look about it, right? And you go, oh, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be your kind of like generic-y taste and lagery kind of beer, you know? But like when you taste it, there's this kind of like, I don't know, lovely kind of nearly toffee taste off it.
Mm.
And it's like, I think it's absolutely smashing. Like, I think this is a quality beer. Like it's so, I don't know. So like it's so deep and rich for a Pilsner, because oftentimes you kind of think of them as being like crisp and like fresh and like, you know, and I suppose that kind of like fizzy carbonated kind of taste. But this kind of has nearly a red ale-y kind of, like bit to it, do you know? I think it's fabulous, but look, only the scale will tell, you know what I mean?
Oh, look, like it's funny because sometimes you drink these beers and you'll be like, oh, they're brilliant, and then you go to do the score and you're like, actually, but I'm really looking forward to scoring this, because do you know what, I'm not gonna lie, like I was really blown away by this beer. When I poured it straight away, I was like, that looks really, really interesting, because it's not too clear. It has a depth of color to it.
Yeah.
Gives a good head, and there's loads of carbonation going on. You know, there's a good bit of life in it. And actually, I think the makeup of the beer is what makes it, because it's a traditional Pilsner. So the traditional Pilsners originated in the Czech Republic, but they've got the Bohemian Pilsner malt, and they use Bavarian bittering hops, but they also use that the Czech hop Saz for this. So it's actually like, it's almost like they've taken the traditional Czech Pilsner and they've taken the Bohemian twist, the Bavarian twist, and they've just fuse them into this fucking magic beer. I'm a big, big fan of this. Like, I think it has, you're dead right. It's basically like, it's almost, it has notes of like the familiar lagers and pilsners that you drink. It's almost like, oh, this is familiar, but it's just elevated to a different fucking level. Like a level that you're never, ever going to get from a macro beer.
Imagine having this and a Carlsberg, like sip for sip. Imagine that, like the difference, like the, like, oh,
I couldn't do it.
Like, I wouldn't do it to my palate.
I just think, like, you know what, right, for a Pilsner, it's bitter, right? It is bitter, and you want that bitterness. It's got that lovely maltiness, and it's got that just fucking essence of this is a product of the fucking earth. Do you know what I mean? Like this is something natural to drink. There's no fucking around here. It's just a fucking top quality beer. Hey, kick off the scoring. Come on, have you the spreadsheet open? I want to see how this shapes up against the rest of them.
Okay, so we're looking for the Ghoulin Jig straight away. How does it do in terms of like,
Listen, say
today, actually, like today is probably our best test day that we could possibly have, because coming out of work today, my fucking shoulders were going,
hey,
we were going 90, you know.
We were both on a 5 for 16 before we left work today. So, mate, but you know what? I'm going to say it anyway. The Gula Jig is the 5 for 16.
It is. It is totally the 5 for 16.
But this beer is the 5 for 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, there's no two ways about it. In fact, we gave, was it, it was to Ola that we gave 5 for 16 to as well, was it?
It was the Eucarious Pills.
Eucarious. I have a lot of empty Eucarious bottles next to me here, and I'm looking at Eucarious, I'm looking at the can of this whole Bohemian Pilsner. And I can't believe I'm saying this because I fell in love with Eucarious, but I'm more drawn to the Hope. I actually, honest to God, yeah, Hope is 5 for 16 as well.
Yep. Might even be 5 for 20. Do you know what I mean? might spend that little bit more to, you know, get
made
it.
The money off. No, 5 for 16 is the top score. We'll see how she shapes up against the rest.
The next one then is the Quivering Quencher, right? So on the Richter scale, I can't remember what you always say. Well, is it 9 or 7? What's it?
Is it 9? Is 6? Is 30 trillion tons of dynamite? I think that's what they say anyway.
Yeah.
So this is the, so basically, if your lip was, if the quiver of your lip was registering on the Richter scale, what level would this quench it?
I tell you, I'm only after like opening it like not too long ago, and I keep reaching for it. Yeah. I keep reaching for it, and it would quench anything. Now on the other hand, it doesn't have that kind of crispness, you know, that kind to it, but it does have a lot of fizz, you know what I mean?
But what I'm saying is, I think that crispness is another score. I think it deals with the quiver very well.
It does, yeah.
I think it's high on the quiver, low on the gas.
Yeah, I think you're right as well.
So I think on the quiver. So what's the highest score so far?
The highest is Eucarious Pills as well, with a 5.9. After that, then is Keller Beer with a 5.5.
6.2.
And I would like, yeah, like I like, it is above the Eucarious Pills, I do think.
I think Quiver Factor is high up there, and I think she'll score low on the gas.
Yeah,
but I think this quenches any quiver really, bar the biggest of quivers.
So leading on to then the Post Pint Gasp. I suppose it is the kind of maltiness, that kind of toffee flavor that I was kind of talking about there, where it probably lets it down for that, because you're kind of soothing out of it.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure is it a letdown. I think it's like that gasp is like that. It's almost like it sates you with one sup and leave the gasp, whereas this doesn't quite sate you, but it does like want you to come back for more. So what's the score for this? It's the that's Bass, isn't it?
That's Bass, yeah. I'd probably just give it that's.
I wasn't even going to say that. I was going to say that, and you're saying that's. So we'll just give it a that.
That, yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's its weakness in this scoring tool, which actually I think, while it being a weakness in the scoring tool, still actually weights it heavily in favor of some of the other scores.
The next one is the Gibiver, right? But you know what? I've kind of gotten sick of this one. I think it's stupid. It's only scored out of 5.
We have to do it though. And I know, because I will say this, right? I know what you're saying. But the one thing basically your issue with this is we haven't come up with an innovative enough score.
I think it's a bit too all encompassing. Like it nearly is like you're kind of like, I don't know. Do you know, like just the jib of her? It's a bit too vague. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but is there not a lot of vagueness about beer to begin with?
Yeah, but
I'm not going to lie, right? And I'm like, I'm almost pushing against you on this because I had my first can sitting down watching the telly with Niamh, and I poured it, and the first thing I did was say, "That looks spectacular."
That now that is that's. That, that that's I suppose that's true for this one. That is true for this one.
I mean,
one. It's failing a lot of other ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I looked at this when I poured it and thought, like, that's what a pilsner should look like. That looks like something I want to fucking gulp down.
Right. Okay.
Gold, but it had that fucking depth of color, that carbonation, that head. It ticked all the boxes. Whatever the full score is, it gets it. Five jibs.
Five jibs. Okay.
But we can delete the column next week if you want.
No. Actually, where I was trying to lead to that, it was that I had suggested an alternative category.
Oh,
for it. Okay. And it is a DJ Walsh. Specific one.
Go on.
And it is the level of arthritic relief.
Could we not just add that in? Like, go on, explain it further to me.
So like, you wake. So this comes from you during the week. You're like, oh Jesus, my hands, my knees are absolutely killing me. Like, absolutely killing me. I'm gonna keel over here. Like, and then you were like, oh God, I'd love a pint now just to settle me. You know. So I want to know, like, which of these is going to be a cure-all for you. Now, I haven't figured out the scale as to, like, you know, do we do it in terms of kind of like the Richter scale as to, like, what the degree of suffering this would relieve, or do we do it from, like...
How many fingers can I straighten?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. So if you have 10 clawed fingers, how many fingers can you now straighten?
I love how we're taking my like chronic illness and just turning it into a scoring tool for how good a beer is. Yeah, I'm glad we didn't think of that in the first day.
Yeah,
we might just have to do a Patreon only episode where we go through each beer at the end and arthritis relief scale.
Yeah.
Actually, we should get someone on from like Arthritis Ireland.
Yeah, to score them.
No, this would score high in that too.
Yeah.
What's next on the Pilsner Prowl?
So, the last category, is it?
Oh, are we on the last one?
Yeah, the last category then is puckability.
Man, I'm slightly heartbroken.
And I'd agree with your heartbreak as well.
This is a limited edition.
Yeah.
I, honest to God, like, part of me feels like writing a strongly worded letter to Hope to at least have it seasonal for the summer, every summer. Look, what are we looking for in puckability?
It is simply how alike it is to the one and only Puck Pilsner.
I would slightly disagree. I don't think it's how alike it is to Puck Pilsner. I think it is, what is the capacity for this beer to be your go-to above all other beers? What is the capacity for this beer to encapsulate that je suis fini à travail, mais je veux dire un bière. Like,
oh, wait. J'ai un tour Eiffel dans mes pantalons.
Yeah, exactly. How does this beer measure up? Like, if you were... how would this beer, like, draw your eyes away from everything else if you were in a Vienpost? You know, how, what is the like, what is the quelque chose?
Yeah.
Je ne sais pas, je ne comprends pas. Il n'y a pas un point de vue ici. Like, how do we, like, just that unquantify, how do we quantify the unquantifiable?
Yeah.
And for me, right, Eucarious Pill scored 80,001, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, yeah.
I would give this
86,337. See, I don't know, right? Because Eucarious Pills had that, like, when I tasted Eucarious Pills, right, and had it, I was like, this is giving me that bit of feeling that I had when I had Puck Pilsner, you know. It had that just same body feel to it, you know, whereas this, it doesn't have the same, but it's a different beer to it. There's more, like, it's just different to it. And like, I don't think I can scale it on puckability at all, really. I don't know. It's so, like, it's a different Pilsner altogether to Puck Pilsner.
I wonder, like, are we thinking about the puckability in a different sense? Are you thinking about it from a how close is this to Puck Pilsner sense? And am I thinking about it from symbolically how close could it be to Puck Pilsner without actually like differentiating the taste and the feel and all that kind of stuff?
Maybe, but yeah, but I think it was just maybe like how close it was to that feeling I had when I had Puck Pilsner. Do you know, it was just a different feeling than this. Do you know what I mean? And I actually got a little bit of that back when I had Eucarious Pills. I was just like, oh, like, Jesus, this is it again. This is, and maybe, you know, obviously it was the kind of similar tasting and stuff like that, but I was just like, fuck, there's something here now. Whereas this, I don't get that at all, but I'm really enjoying this.
That's funny, because I do get that from this.
Right.
But I also got it from Eucarious Pills.
Yeah.
So I think what we need to do is you need to give it a score and we need to meet in the middle.
I'd give it 54,362.
I was like 86 and you were 54.
Yeah.
So we're 32 apart, 16.
That's it.
70,000. 70,000 even.
70,000.
I'm happy with that.
I'm happy with that as well. Yeah. I know. I do think. Eucarious Pills probably like, well, for me, I know you're thinking otherwise, but I think Eucarious Pills probably just does have that little bit of an edge, like, you know. But
I think this is the beauty of the scoring tour, that we have quite similar palettes.
Yeah.
But like, they're not unique.
No.
And I think we can both agree that Eucarious Pills and Hope's Bohemian Pilsner are two absolutely phenomenal beers.
100%. And
I wouldn't hesitate reaching for either.
And with that said, I think we might take a little bit of an ad break.
We do. We need to, because I just finished my can and I need to get another one. That was fun.
So we're gonna go into an ad break now. You'll be told to buy something by the folks at Acast, and please enjoy the following 30 seconds or so.
Well, we're back in the room. The glasses are full, the bladders are empty, and I actually really fucking enjoyed that Pilsner Prowl. I think, you know what, it's good that we didn't agree on the last topic, because we do have very similar tastes. We have very similar opinions on beer, but sometimes we differ, sometimes, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing for the podcast, good thing for listeners. And I actually am very, very intrigued at your thoughts on that beer run. I think it was really, really good to have that. And I think as we go on with this, it's going to be fascinating. And I wonder, will anything ever score 100,000 on the Puckability, or more even? You never know. But we have a few beers that we're eyeing up to get in, that we really want to get in, that are out there at the moment. They're getting rave reviews online. And we actually have, after today now, a fridge full of unfiltered lagers, Helles lagers, pilsners, and we're looking at a few colches as well. So there's some serious beers to come up in the Pilsner Prowl in the next couple of weeks.
I think what our problem is going to be is that, like, when do we draw the line? When do we say this Prowl is finished? You know, because, like, just with the release schedule of things, like, you know, that I suppose maybe stout season might kind of cut it off. But, like, I don't know if I want to wait that long to clear a winner, you know?
I think if I find something that I think that Bohemian Pilsner from Hope and Eucharist Pils are not far off it.
Yeah.
And as well, it'll depend when the pub's open too.
Yeah.
So, like, I think if we find something between now and the pub's opening that is, like, genuinely beating Eucharist Pils and the Bohemian from Hope out the gate, I think then it stops, because you're like, you know, those two beers are near enough perfection.
Phenomenal, yeah.
And I think if we find that, that's the line. I also think too, though, if the pub's open, it's like, fuck the Prowl on the cans, like, get back in the pints.
Yeah.
You know, that's my, like,
fuck the podcast.
Yeah. But speaking of the podcast, we were talking during the week about what topic we would speak about, and a few things came up and we just didn't settle on one. And we thought, you know what, fuck it. It's been a while since we've gone to the listeners and say, what do you want us to talk about? So that's exactly what we did. Purely out of our own laziness. We put out there on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Nobody got back on Facebook. Actually, I better check the Facebook just to see if anyone did. But we put up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, just if you have any questions, let us know. Give us a shout. Tell us what you want us to talk about, any questions you want answered, any topics you want covered, and we'll try and basically cover them today. And we got some replies. We got some replies on... actually, the only interaction we had on Facebook was we didn't get a reply to questions or topics, but our good old friend Owen, Leanne Cody, liked our post.
Oh, good on her.
Good woman, Leanne.
Big fan of the show.
Yeah, big fan of the show. Big, big fan of the show. Leanne, a good friend of ours. And shout out to Leanne. So, Owen, do you want to go with the Instagram and I'll go with the Twitter? We'll kick it off. You go first there.
So we got a few responses back on Instagram. I'll just pick some of our best ones here. But I just love how a big bunch of messers our listeners are. Like, they we don't take ourselves seriously, and they don't take us seriously, and they don't take themselves seriously. So we've one from Tommy, who was on the show last week. And Tommy says, will he be observing a minute's silence for Prince Philip?
Right, we're recording this the night before his funeral. And
yes.
We'll address this quite quickly. No offense to any of our British listeners who would observe a minute's silence for Prince Philip, but we won't be for obvious reasons. On your way, Philly. Slánge.
Slánge fóill.
Fair play. He was only a few months away from getting a letter from the Queen.
So we also had a question here from Irish Beer Snob. And he says,
hello, Jan.
What is the worst drink you've ever drank? Well, it was actually, what is the worst drink you've ever drank? Mine was lizard sake.
So, obviously, if Wayne has said, what is the worst drink you've ever drank? Wayne is after a few drinks.
Yeah.
And as well, for anyone... genuinely check out the Irish Beer Snob podcast lately. They've had some brilliant episodes of some great brewers. The worst beer. We actually, do you remember we episode 5 of the Snowcast? If we go way back to the very, very start, when Grady's Yard wasn't even open yet.
Yep.
And we did an interview with Danny from Yellow Belly, and Kevin was the manager of Grady's Yard at the time. Two absolutely phenomenal lads. And we asked them this. We asked, like, what's the worst beer you've ever drank? But I think this is like, that was what's the worst beer you've got? So it could be a good beer, but you've had a bad experience. I think what Wayne is asking is, what is genuinely the worst drink?
Yeah.
You've ever drank. It's a tough one.
Mine's probably like some sort of like shot, I'd say, you know. Because in college world, you ask for like the genuine question that you would have asked on a night out was, what is your cheapest, strongest drink? And it would have been like Goldschlager, or it would have been Chartreuse.
I was going to say, do you remember Chartreuse?
Yeah. And I think Chartreuse could be an answer there, you know.
I loved Chartreuse in college, but purely for the fact that, like, it instantaneously made the night a write-off.
Yeah, it was more of an experience than an actual drinking experience, you know, a drinking pleasure, you know.
It was like a legal hallucinogenic.
Yeah, I'll probably go along that line. So yeah, the other story I told from the podcast was, I had the worst pint of Guinness that, like, it literally tasted like I was drinking bleach in a nightclub in Cork that had just kind of reopened or something. So I'd say they had the same keg from the 2 years or that it was closed, you know, that was still kegged up.
I was going to say, basically, I was just going to answer Rock Shore.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst drink anyone's ever had.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Stop drinking Rock Shore, people. Like, if any beer has to be advertised that much, it's shite.
Yeah.
Stop drinking it.
Yeah. I think we covered that before previously, just like how heavily that was like promoted and put on banners and stuff all around Dublin at the time. Like,
I ate the ear off Tom and Nicole about it one day. I was like, why are you? Like, I don't care what discount they're giving you. The waste of a tap. You've spoken me running straight from the urinal.
Matt Preston has asked us.
Hey, Matt.
he said, this has probably been done before, but do you have any guilty pleasure drinks?
Oh, do I? Oh, do I? Muldoon's is the guilty pleasure. Like,
That's a great shout, yeah.
It's the epitome of a guilty pleasure. Like, it's a whiskey liqueur, hazelnutty, like Christmassy almost, which is like that's the quintessential guilty pleasure is Muldoon's whiskey liqueur, I think.
Yeah. And like, actually, trying not to offend our female listeners, but this has actually been this was actually produced in order to target the whiskey market to women. Mm-hmm. Kind of marketing appeal behind it. But
they told us that themselves, yeah.
They told, yeah, but like, you know, color me pink. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it is tasty, and we've never had any shame, and why should you have any shame about enjoying such a delicious, delicious drink?
But as well, like, there's this misconception that certain drinks are feminine.
Well, it's the marketing behind them, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you know, like West Coast Cooler, you know, you're going, oh, well, that's women, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, but like, if you enjoyed West Coast Cooler, so why not enjoy it?
And fuck that shit. But the other thing I will say is the place that we tend to drink Muldoon's whiskey liqueur is Davy Mac's Bar in Waterford.
Yep.
The other thing that I would often get a drink of in there, thanks to our good friend Sonia Norwan, a veteran of the Snowcast from back in the day, I think a guilty pleasure is a top quality. If you can get a really good old-fashioned.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a guilty pleasure of a drink as well.
Well, like, I'm a big fan of just cocktails in general, so... Let's
get you started on espresso martinis. You can't call them a guilty pleasure because you drink them so often.
Exactly, yeah. But even daiquiris and stuff or Cosmos or whatever, like a really good one, like from an experienced bartender, is just absolutely phenomenal. Like, you know.
Well, sure, the last time we were abroad was my stag in Portugal. And sure, we were having mojitos with our fry-up breakfast.
Fry-up, yeah. So yeah.
Great question.
The last one I've picked out here from our Instagram was from Connor Dalton, the writer and producer and the creator of the Snowcast team tune. And he said... How did ye gobshites get on the television?
Well, that's fairly fucking simple, Connor. Didn't you turn the television on?
Love it. Thanks, lads.
Yeah, thanks, Connor. Look forward to seeing you when you come back to Ireland for an old trip at some stage, sooner rather than later. Right on. You picked out your favourites from Instagram. I'm going to go on Twitter now and have a look at a few of the questions. I'm going to start off with this one. From Gavin McCarthy. We said, basically, the way I phrased it was questions, topics, and Gavin brings up the return of Pint Watch.
Yeah, let's do it. It's been a while.
Pint Watch is over in the UK.
Yeah.
So I think there's basically like what Gavin's alluding to now is like people are being vaccinated. Like we were... very fortunate enough to be vaccinated fairly early on because of our day jobs.
I think it's as well as because there, like when we started Pint Watch initially, there was that kind of sniff of a reopening plan and we were trying to kind of guess it. And that was kind of the basis of it. And there is that kind of sniff again of like, you know, in a week or two, there's going to be an announcement of, you know, what May, June and July are going to look like, you know. So
I will say this much, right? I really hope the fuck that this nonsense about a substantial meal and
wet pubs and dry pubs and
like bin that. Just
bin that, yeah.
Right. Like, if like have it outdoors, like the ventilation is the important thing. Like have it outdoors if you want for the summer, fine. But by God, like what difference does it make if I have 6 pints with a bowl of chicken wings or if I have 6 pints with a
yeah
fucking with no near a bowl in front of me?
Like, let's bring it back to that 2 week period that we had of the wet pubs reopening, and when we went into Philly Grimes and we were out the back, and there was no harm whatsoever.
Yeah, but as well as Michal said to us today, they need time. The brewers need time to brew and keg it.
Yeah.
The bars need time to clean the pipes. Like, do not announce it overnight. Good God, give them time to be ready. The one thing I will say, Owen, right, in terms of Pint Watch, I think it's actually Pint Watch is a great way of looking at it. They have opened pubs in the UK now with 35, 40 million doses of vaccine given, which is roughly 50 to 55% of the British population if they're all first doses. I think equivalently, we've 20% of the Irish population with first doses now, but we're expecting a big delivery of Pfizer vaccine next couple of weeks before the end of April. So if all that comes to fruition and there isn't a substantial rise and outbreak in the UK, my prediction is, given all those variables, June bank holiday weekend. I would say after the June, they're not going to open it on a bank holiday weekend, I think. But I would say the week after June bank holiday weekend.
I was going to say that. But yeah, to make it interesting, I'll say your birthday.
21st of June, summer solstice. Up the solstice on the sauce.
But yeah, thanks for that. I always felt good about the Pint Watch. Like, it was such an exciting thing. Yeah. And the reason we gave it up was just because after the closure, we were like, oh, for fuck's
sake. And even like that conversation we had with Tom Ryan the last day that we were there.
Yeah.
Where he was just crestfallen. And then we did a last call. We spoke to Bar. I'd love to revisit the last call and talk to those the owners and operators and family of bartenders. Actually, if you're interested in something like that, because it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, send us an email. If there's a demand for like a revisiting of the last call to see where bars are, let us know and we look into it. It took an awful lot of time and effort, and I'd love to do it again, but it would take an effort. So I'd love to know if there's a demand there first. I'm scrolling through the Twitter now, and there's some I want to come back to because I feel like there's going to be an in-depth conversation. So I want to get some of the ones that might be quick enough conversations about at the moment. So Taft and Clax has been in touch. German or Czech Pilsners, which rules or what's your favorite European pills? Which is a good question, Tarfton. I find personally, I don't really mind either way. And I actually think we had an example on the Pilsner Proud this week on Hope Pilsner, which used Bavarian malt and Czech hops. So I don't think you have to differentiate between the two. I think a good beer is a good beer. In terms of just overarching styles, like Pilsner is originally a Czech style. There's some great Czech Pilsners out there. Actually, I have a couple of Czech Pilsners there that I got as a gift last year that I haven't tucked into yet in the fridge. But and favorite European pills, I think Eucharist, in terms of European, if we're not looking at Irish at the moment, is up there. Probably a lot of recency bias in this. I don't know, Owen, if you have anything to add to that.
No, I just think one of the ones that that you see quite often, and that I've probably drank in the Czech Republic, I suppose, the one time I was there, I suppose. But then I think in other kind of European countries as well, it would be Pilsner Urquell, is it? U-R-Q?
I pronounce it Urquell anyway. It might not be that. I know the one you're talking about. It's very popular in Liverpool, actually.
I suppose as a macro Eastern European company, I always love that, like for dipping in and out of, like, so
yeah, that like that again. I probably the two of us we never say we're massive beer connoisseurs or have a huge beer knowledge anyway. So, but we know what we like, and those are a few that we do like.
Really interesting one here, Owen, from Christopher Love. Christopher's written in, falling into the hard seltzer camp recently. Reminds me of my days working the pub when the old boys would call all the American beers fizzy pish. That would have blown their minds. Have either of you dabbled yet? I'm a recent blown, so disregard if you desire. First of all, Christopher, we never disregard any listener. So we're delighted to have you on board. Welcome aboard the Snowcast train. Thanks a million for getting in touch. Hard seltzers, I have to admit, Owen, I haven't really tried any yet, but they're very fucking popular at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Like you hear White Claw like a huge amount across like different kind of media platforms and stuff. But again, similar to you, I have not dabbled in that area. Now, having said that, I did buy 3-4 locos today.
Oh man.
So yeah, for anyone who's not familiar with Four Loko, it's like a vodka and fucking, it's like vodka and Monster mixed into one. It's like a hard energy drink, really, isn't it? Like
it's basically bull testosterone and vodka combined. So it's the best of like the Woodlands and the best of Russia. And like the one thing I would say, right, you suggested today we do a Four Loko episode, and I was like, yeah, 100%, I'm up for that, but that's Patreon only. I'm sorry, Lance, but if you, like, who knows what would come out of our mouths if...
Yeah.
So, yeah, patreon.com/snowcast if you want to...
Yeah, we will release it to the lowest tier, but yeah, you'll have to join us in order to hear that episode.
I think Christopher makes a very interesting point in terms of like that the Owl Boys calling the American beers fizzy pish. Like, you know, this Smittix and Guinness drinkers looking at fucking Carlsberg, or not Carlsberg, Budweiser et al., you know, and the carbonation in them and snuffing their nose. So I can see where Christopher's coming from in terms of the
but again, leading back, even going back to the question about guilty pleasures, like if you like it,
yeah,
100%. fuck it, like who gives a shit, like
yeah. But I think as well, like, I wonder it'll be really interesting to see if hard seltzers become a home drink phenomenon that doesn't translate to the public. Like, have you ever seen anyone order Buckfast in a pub?
Mm.
You know,
but is it more of a West Coast coolery kind of thing where you know it's a mix of both, like, you know.
Possibly, that's very good. Declan Flynn actually says, Declan Flynn recommends Boundaries New Pilsner if we haven't tried it yet. So we must look on to Beer Cloud to try and get some of that in, actually, for the Pilsner Prowl. Porikyo has been in touch. The king of pub snacks, and why the correct answer is a bag of salted peanuts spilled into a bag of potato. Porik, there's nothing we love more. There's only one thing we love more than food, and that's beer. And food and beer together is fucking right up that alley. So he's talking about, I presume when he says a bag of tato, if someone only refers to a bag of tato, they're referring to the original cheese and onion tato. Because otherwise you have to premise it with smoky bacon or salt and vinegar.
That is true, yes.
Or prawn cocktail. They do.
Pork is right, I think, in that instance. I think the cheese and onion is what you would definitely go to initially, but I believe Port Leash Pub Club have replied to that comment with a previous poll that they had created a few months ago.
in terms of, I think it was kind of like a World Cup of pub snacks, and cheese and onion crisps won out outright, with bacon fries being a close second.
But Portlaoise Pub Club, Peter, that poll is the best snack to have with a pint of stout. And Porrick's question is the king of pub snacks. No mention of stout whatsoever. So, what I would say is, right, stout, yes, I understand stout, cheese and onion crisps. If we're talking about pub and we're talking about the broader range of drinks you can drink, ale, pale ales, red ales, dark ales, lagers, stouts, fucking porters, you name it. Whiskies, hard seltzers, whatever you have in yourself. I'm going to say, right, and maybe this is the fact that I haven't been properly inside in a pub in over a year at this stage. Porrick's talking about bag of salted peanuts spilled into a bag of potato. Now, I presume he's talking about pouring them in to the bag itself, whereas we like to open the bag of potatoes up and pour the peanuts on, which is different in itself. But I think there's a missed market here. You know the way you get like the, what's that mix you get? Bombay mix.
Bombay, yeah.
Right. There's a Snugcast mix to be made. Cheese and onion potatoes, salted peanuts, and bacon fries all mixed together in a big bowl in the middle of a fucking table while a heap of lads and lassies have pints around that table.
See, watch it. It can't be in a bowl, though. It needs to be in, like, a newspaper or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. In a Gracie newspaper.
Yeah, it needs to be in a Gracie newspaper or a Playboy magazine or something.
Okay. You
or like
what are the pubs in Kilcullen like?
Or magazine or FHM or something like that.
Yeah, okay. I think that's the way forward. I think that'll take over the pub snack scene post pandemic. Oodles has been on. Oodles is a co-host of Modern Escapism. We had Stu on the co-host on recently, so big shout out to all the Modern Escapism crew. So Oodles, I constantly get berated by pals for being the stout drinker. Have you noticed any backlash from particular drinks you've defaulted to over the years, and how do you combat the haters? Rocking up to a house party with a 12 pack of Guinness doesn't scream partay. Oodles, I know for a fact you live in the UK. Nobody would look sideways at a lad that showed up with 12 cans of Guinness to a house party in Ireland. I think Oodles was just born in the wrong country.
Yeah. Now let's take this from the Irish side, right? Is there anything that you could show up to at an Irish house party that you'd be ridiculed about?
I don't think so, because I think back, right, house parties. Look, the last house party we were at was an impromptu one after like fucking celebration event. Some yoke happened in Watford, and we ended up accidentally inviting
the whole yeah, crowd. Like, yeah,
so we accidentally threw the last house party that I was at. Before that, you're probably talking college days, really, in terms of proper hardcore house party. Because we're pub goers, we're not fucking house goers. And I don't think the culture of drink shaming is that big in Ireland. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've just been very lucky in my experience. But I think if you showed up with 12 cans of Guinness to anyone's house in Ireland, they'd not bat an eyelid.
I have one example, right? And it's about a lad who was going above his station, right?
Well, that's different.
So this was a lad who brought a bottle of he brought a bottle of Grey Goose to a house party in college, and he was drinking straight out of the Grey Goose bottle. So I think he had it mixed in the Grey Goose bottle like whatever he was drinking for the night. So say whatever Grey Goose and orange or Coke or whatever the fuck he was drinking, right, was in the Grey Goose bottle. So this chap obviously went out of his way, because you know what you're obviously meant to do is mix in the mixer bottle. So like if you had like, you know, a pile of Coke, like, as in, because the Coke is going to be three quarters of the drink anyway, that you would obviously, it makes sense to mix it in the Coke bottle. But no, this chap mixed it in the Grey Goose bottle. Therefore, you know, he's fucking trying to just show off that he can afford Grey Goose, like.
But even there, right? Sure, if you don't drink it all, then you've wasted a heap of Grey Goose. Whereas at least if you don't drink it all when you mix in the mixer bottle, you've only wasted a few subs of Coke.
I know. Oh. Silly business. Absolutely silliness. Yeah. I think he's trying to say that, oh, he had drank the rest of the Grey Goose and this was the end of it, you know, and he's, but sure, it was probably fucking Smirnoff anyway, like, you know what I mean?
The one thing I'd say to Oodles is, if cows are calving overnight, you'd often drink a slab of Guinness and try and climb over walls drunk to see him. So, like, I don't know. I just think Oodles is a victim of geography there.
I went through a phase in college. Second year of college, I was a big red wine drinker.
Yeah, you were bad for the Wally's Hut.
Wally's Hut, yeah.
I remember Centra there and up by Sissy Young's.
€6 for a bottle of Wally's Hut, like, you know, and it wouldn't set you astray. I think I actually missed our first or second year ball because of it, you know.
Yeah, happy days.
Happy days, happy days.
Happy, happy days. Oodles, show up to any house party over here. You're welcome to any of our house parties with a crate of Guinness.
Any drink.
We won't look sideways at you. In fact, we'll just tell you add it to the Guinness in the fridge. And I think the last one I have is my good friend Rob O'Sullivan. They've been in touch. First question, dost thou travel on?
Thanks, Rob. No, Stout does not travel. I'm flat out saying it now. I had a pint of Stout in Vietnam and it did not travel at all. And I think I've had Stout abroad as well. Maybe it's a bit psychosomatic as well, but like definitely in like the likes of Spain and Portugal, even like it just doesn't travel. Like it's not the same, is it?
I am going to completely dispel everything you've said with one sentence. Left Hand Nitro Brewing, Nitro Stout from Colorado, Phil Grimes Pub on Tap. It travels fine.
Maybe that's the milk versus the nitro, or the, you know, that maybe it's.
So my take on it is the climate that you're drinking the stout in.
Yeah.
So if you mentioned Vietnam, you mentioned Spain and Portugal, they're not climates conducive to a heap of stout. Like, whereas Colorado's cold, like South Park is a cold place. And Ireland's a cold place. And Britain's a cold place.
See, there's also the thing as well. So, like, in those places that I've spoken about Guinness, right? That they've all been Guinness examples, right? It's a well-known fact that Irish and UK Guinness comes from St. James's Gate.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest are not.
The only thing I'll say there is Guinness is more popular in Nigeria than it is in Ireland, UK, if I'm not mistaken. So Nigeria is a warm, temperate climate. So I don't know if they're serving it really cold there or what the crack is.
But maybe they're just more used to, maybe that's the taste of Guinness that they have, that they're used to. Whereas
possibly,
I'm not used to it. And But does it travel?
I think like
it's a good question, Rob.
It's a great question, Rob. And I think like stout is a family of beer, so is it hard to answer? Like, do we just view stout through the prism of nitro stout? Because
God, they've nailed it. They've absolutely nailed it.
Yeah. Right. So Rob's question has three. Rob's tweet has three different parts, and I think they're all worth. They're all worth quickly going over.
Yeah.
Best pub games.
Just to go back to that, right? Please, everybody, just write in for that answer, because we're after a few cans here now. We're probably not thinking straight. So please.
This is my seventh fucking can. Like,
chime in.
I've been on the Pilsners all night, so I'm not in the stout frame of mind.
I'm switching to a stout now. So
chime like fuck, lads. Best pub games.
So actually, right, what do you think when you think of a pub game?
I'm not sure, because pub games, like, I've been like, I'm kind of a bit confused to the question. I've been to pubs where there's board games.
Yeah.
And actually, Connect Four is a brilliant pub game.
Yeah, right. So right.
Is that the question, or is it like Kings?
Which
isn't a pub game, that's a house party game, isn't it? Like,
right. So I was having this conversation with Kira earlier on, right? And I was having the same conflict as you were, right? And I was going, what's the best pub game? I was like, sure, I don't play games in a pub, right? I'm like, I don't play, is it a table quiz?
It's not a place for games.
Right? But then Kira turns to me and she goes, what about darts or pool?
Oh.
And I was like, you're an absolute genius. Like, they are pub games. That's what a pub game is. Darts or pool.
Right. I think this, all right, now you've reframed my thought.
Exactly.
And it's very clear to me. Put the pound down. Best pub game is pool, because darts can end up in fucking A&E. Pool doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I love darts. I really love throwing darts. And we played darts in Phil Grimes once, and you were a much better dart thrower than I was, but you couldn't finish.
Yeah.
I couldn't throw a fucking score together.
But you could finish the double.
I don't need a second look at a double.
Double team, yeah. The pool table is a magical thing, isn't it? Like, because it acts as a table. It has kind of the surrounding atmosphere of it. And it can accommodate like about like eight lads around it, you know, who are chatting, kind of half watching, half getting out of the way. Whereas a dartboard, although kind of magical for the two people that are playing and maybe, you know, one or two others who are kind of waiting.
A kind of scorekeeper, like.
Yeah, but like the other group, I think it kind of would lose the appeal or the watchability of the rest of the group if there's not as much of a surround around a dartboard for you all to kind of like, you know, to talk around. Whereas at the pool table, there could be actually about three or four groups around a pool table all having different conversations while two lads are also playing, which was definitely happening on your stag.
The pool table is like a kind of hub.
It is, yeah.
Good question, Rob. I think pool is your correct answer.
Yeah.
And my favorite question tonight: best classic beer ad. And the reason it's my favorite question is because for all my classics, we're talking about old.
Yeah.
And basically, we like independent craft beer, but like independent craft breweries don't have the budget, the marketing budget to create proper advertisements on national television. So it's forcing us to engage with the macro brewery aspect of things. And then it's like, right, what's the classic and what are the best of them?
Again, right, I was, for this, right, I was thinking, right, because I, correct me now if I'm wrong, right, but the question on this was, what is the greatest beer ad? Am I right?
Best classic beer ad.
Best classic beer ad, right? So my mind immediately went to like TV ads, right? So I was thinking of the one with Michael Fassbender jumping off the cliffs of Moors, you know, swimming over to the US, meeting his brother, blah, 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 that one. And, you know, a few of the kind of Guinness ads from back in the day, right?
Yeah.
But again, Kira, love of my life, right? Sets me straight. And she goes, well, he said like classic beer ad, right? So this could be media of any type. So yeah. I was thinking back to like Guinness posters and like, or just posters in general back in the day, like, you know, and there's been some beauties. Like one of my favorites, I think, was, do you know, there was that like Guinness ostrich one where like the ostrich had the pint of Guinness in their neck. They'd swallow the pint of Guinness and you could see the Guinness glass in their neck. And there was like a Garda or something like kind of trying to reach up to them.
Yeah, because I actually thought similar. And I just think, for me, the classic is, do you know that? You see it on the side of a lot of pubs, a really old ad. And it's just a big massive poster or a big massive, like, to do, you'd see cast iron ones on really old pubs and it's like Guinness for strength. And it's basically a man holding a pint of Guinness, but also plowing a field by hand himself with big muscles.
Oh, that, yeah. And no, I
just think about the era that was advertising, thinking, fuck it. Like, what? That's absolutely fucking genius. Guinness has some absolutely classic Christmas ads as well.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's very true. Yeah, yeah.
And actually, their Christmas ad from, you know, 6-7 years ago is so good that they still use it. James's Gate, the Home of the Black Stuff ad, which is fairly recent, but is worthy of classic status because it's so good that they just can't change it. Like, genuinely, I'd say they're sitting around James's Gate Brewery thinking, how do we come up with a better Christmas ad this year? And every year it's like,
We'll just lash out the same one again, yeah.
You fucking can't. Like,
I remember, like, there was an off license in Waterford, which I think is closed down since, but like, they had this big, huge ad on the side of it. And it was, you know, when they had like the toucan as their logo, as their mascot or whatever.
Mm.
And it said one can or two can. Oh, it's fucking so good. Like, so clever, like, the whole thing.
I have to say, right, like, I think Guinness came out on top for adverts. But Carlsberg have had some brilliant ones. And that tagline, probably the best lager in the world, has led to some brilliant advertisement campaigns, despite the fact it tastes like piss. And there was, especially around some sporting events. And, you know, they've played on things like probably the best, you know, X in the world or Y in the world.
Yeah.
They've been quite witty. Heineken as well have come up with a few good ones around the Champions League.
Yeah.
There's been the odd good ad, and I think
they've said kind of like James Bond ones as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I think of all them, kind of like out of Carlsberg, Heineken, and them, I think the best advertisements for that type of beer to me are the kind of like Rocky Mountain Refreshment ads from Coors Light. having like Jean-Claude Van Damme or these really fucking tough guys, basically topless in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of like, I don't shed a tear kind of thing. Like,
wasn't there a thing about, just to go back to Carlsberg, right? That they had like, because they had like, you know, probably the best lager in the world for years and years and years. And then remember they went to, it's not only option A and option B, there's always option C. And then, like, you know, so I think there had that ad where there was like two boys in a nightclub and they were like trying to chat up a girl in the nightclub. And they were like, oh, you know, you're Irish, you know, speak some Irish to me. And, you know, it's just like, oh, it's Evan Lom, Colleen Bonya, and all this kind of stuff. Remember that? I was like, oh, I'm a catacomb dog at Ian Leharis. Like, and all this kind of like, play on kind of guys not knowing Irish and just trying to play it off as kind of a magical language. But I think that why they switch from probably the best lager in the world was because they were trying to make it into the Chinese market. I could be wrong now. It could be another Asian country, but I think it was the Chinese market. And that probably when kind of translated into Mandarin translates as probably not, you know, it's kind of like whatever way it is, it's more of a negative to it. So if you say probably, it means kind of like a kind of an unlikely, you know, more so than actually likely. So if you say, oh, probably the best lager in the world, actually means like maybe the best lager in the world, you know, it's not as positive as we would put on it. So so I that's why they ended up changing it, which I thought was very interesting at the time. Like, and I was just like, would they not have had like a separate like Western and Eastern language option or ad options, you know, for it? But they kind of went full on for it at that time.
Yeah, I think for me, like the ad that kind of stands out as the one that really sticks in the memory, if I'm talking about TV ads from back in the day, is, do you remember the Carlsberg broken down truck driver?
Oh yeah, oh my god.
Where it's in Denmark and your man is like Carlsberg export. So he's bringing Carlsberg out of Denmark.
Yeah.
And his truck breaks down and he knocks.
Goes into a little cottage.
Yeah, and it's this old one and she sees the Carlsberg export and she's like, he's like, can I use your phone? My truck is broken down. She's like, yeah, no bother. He makes the phone call. And then she's like, would you like to use the bathroom? And she like lures him into this like fucking drop and she locks him in. She's like, bye. And it's like, Carlsberg, like, so good the Danes don't want it to leave.
Yeah. Oh, so,
honest to God, right? As much as I hate Carlsberg, that ad was marketing brilliance. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant question. Fair play, Rob. Thanks, Rob. We really appreciate it. So yeah, I think look, there's plenty in that here. We're not really timing these days. So I think we've come to the natural conclusion of the episode. It's been really fun. Hold on. Actually, Niamh gave me a question before we finish up.
Oh, actually, Kira gave me a question as well. So my one's a quick one anyway.
My one's very quick as well.
Go for it.
Feeding cows, is it a circular feeder or a ring feeder?
I have no idea.
Hey, she says ring feeder, I say circular feeder. Fucking bring on the lawyers.
I think ring sounds better, like a ring feeder. A ring feeder. Bring out the ring feeder.
Yeah, that's grand, but it's a circular feeder, so like, you know, conversation over. Hey, if she wanted to defend herself, she could have fucking poured herself a drink and come on.
Kira's question is, what is your favorite glass
to drink out of?
Oh, actually, this is it. Like, what is this glass type? I'm terrible with glass types.
I think that's kind of like a little schooner, is it?
I'll find out there now. Glass types for drinks. 10 types of glassware for every bar needs. That's and this type of glass isn't fucking on that. Hold on. No.
I think it is a schooner.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah. If you type in schooner, beer glasses into, you'll see it.
Yeah, it's I see one here, it says goblet, which doesn't make sense. Yeah, schooner. Yeah, we got this. Actually, I'll tell you where I got this. Hannah's cafe in Fermoy. They had a lot of 8 degrees beers, and I actually got a good few cans as a present off someone, and they gave me these glasses. Well, I gave you a couple of these glasses as well, Owen.
And I was going to answer that. They're my favorite as well. Like, I've had a few different ones around the house. Like, I have like proper like kind of Guinness pint glasses, and I have another.
Kildare Brewing Company gave us some glasses last year as well. Really long ones. They're really cool. But this 8 degree schooner kind of glass. I don't know. It feels like for the podcast especially. Doing shit like the Pilsner Prowl and the tasting and the kind of, it just feels right. It just,
yeah.
To me, it makes me feel, it gives me notions.
And same with the little kind of the kind of stubby cans as well. Like, they're like a perfect fit in it as well.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of the schooner.
Thanks, Ciara.
Thanks, Ciara. Good question. So, look, guys, that's been the podcast for this week. Thanks a million for tuning in. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at Snowcast. If you want to ask questions, the next time we do one of these in about 2 years' time, you can find us on them. We're always open to your questions and suggestions for topics anyway. So feel free to get in touch on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. You can DM us, private message us, or you can ask us publicly. And if you want to send us an email, we're at thesnowcast@gmail.com. Very welcome, very open to your email suggestions. We have a big announcement next week, big change. Nothing to be too concerned about now, but a big change. We've got something we want to announce, and we've it lined up. It's something we're very happy with. And as well, if you want to support us, contribute towards our equipment and help us get better guests on the show than just ourselves. When the pubs do open, you can go to www.patreon.com/snowcast. We'd be more than happy to have you on board. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Owen, give some parting words to our beloved listeners.
If you have any tips for beating Crash Bandicoot 1, please contact me on at OwenTab on Twitter. Thanks.
This is... like, he's not married yet, but this is genuinely needed to save his marriage.
Yeah, we got through 3 levels there tonight, so we're happy. We're happy tonight, like, but could all fall apart now tomorrow.
So look, have Owen's relationship in your thought and prayers as he navigates his way through the Crash Bandicoot. Many of us have been there. Actually, Owen, we should get Ciara on the podcast to talk about Crash Bandicoot at some stage.
Yeah, I'd say she'd love it.
Yeah. Right, lads. Thanks a million for that. Cheers. Mind yourself, staunch Dave Galair, and sure look it as Owen goes off to take a piss without stopping the recording. Mind yourselves. Take care. And I will say this much. Oodles has been in touch tonight with a question, and Stu was on a couple of weeks ago. Give Modern Escapism a listen. It's a long podcast. Well worth a listen. Thanks a million and goodbye. If Owen doesn't edit this bit out from the podcast, you've had to listen to me singing this song that I've made up as I go on. We're still recording here, Beth.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.